Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for tuning my way this morning. Yes, if you have friends, then you must show yourself friendly according to the Bible. And I'm thankful that I've always shown myself friendly to people. And I trust today that you are my old friends. I appreciate you. I hope that you're enjoying the broadcast. So let's get right into the service today and do this song for you right here. I hope you enjoy this one.
I have a source of strength when I am weak that helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through to never go to Calvary as I do. For there the healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace that only His redeemed can shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need those precious blood stains. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains.
Yes, sir. I claim those precious blood stains. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. I don't care. The Bible said that the heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand forever. So I'm thankful for that today. So they listen to broadcast each and every Sunday morning. I appreciate that. We have a lot of listeners out there, a lot of people I haven't heard from, but I hope you're doing real well. Anyhow, I'm glad you're doing well. Then let's remember Patty and Barry Harper. And Patty and Barry, they're doing as well as could be expected. I've got so many people out there. Appreciate her, and then Denise Brown, and Betty and Ernie Adkins. I appreciate them up in Rock Camp. And a lot of people that are around that might not even mention your name, but I hope that you understand the broadcast is as much for you as it is for everyone else. So let's go right now and listen to this song.
A trial of stone down in the valley. I felt so alone, fearing that Satan would tempt and abuse. But God sent sweet comfort with this simple truth. Even the valley is higher ground. Satan can't touch me where God's love abounds. There's not a place where God's hand can reach down. Eagles, and I fall in low through peaks and through valleys. That's just way life goes. But I found the peace in the midst of despair when I discovered that God's everywhere. God's hand can reach down. Even the valley is higher ground. Even the valley is higher.
In our prayers, and always remember me, I need your prayers, and remember all the sick people that we mentioned. We don't mention them all. We mentioned several people. We appreciate Doris Neely. Hope that she's doing real well. Haven't heard from her for a little while. I hope she's doing real well, though. And a lot of folks, people that I know, are sick and afflicted. And I'll tell you, I think prayer goes a long way. And I'm praying for you, and I hope that you are praying for me. Okay? Let's go right now and listen to this song here.
I got up late one morning, had to run to catch my bus. My, how my legs did hurt from all that running, and how I did sit there and complain. But then I looked up, and from my seat I saw a young girl coming down the aisle. She was walking on one leg in a walker, and as she passed by, she gave me one of the biggest smiles. And I thought, I have two good legs, and the world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Later, as I was walking down the street, I saw a small boy with eyes of blue. As he stood and watched, he seemed he didn't know what to do. And I said, why don't you join the others, son? He looked straight ahead and spoke not a word. And then I seen that he could not hear. And I said, oh God, I have two good ears, and the world is mine. Please forgive me when I whine. On down the street, I stopped to buy some sweets. And the lad that sold them to me had such charm. I just had to talk with him for a while. It would not hurt if I was late, so I just sat and chatted for a while. And as I left, he said to me, "Thank you, sir. You've been so kind. It's nice to talk to folks like you, for you see, I'm blind." I said, "Lord, I have two good eyes, and the world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine."
Yes, sir, we have a tendency sometimes to complain, but, you know, we always think there's other people that's in the same boat that we're in. They're having their problems. They're facing the same storms, the same heartaches that we do. But if God be for you, there's no power that will ever stand against you. So I'm thankful for that this morning. I hope that there's something I can do on this radio broadcast that will help you along the way. And I'm praying for you, and I hope you're praying for me also.
The waters are smooth, and the sailing seems so easy, but things haven't always been this way. For I've seen the billows roll, and it brings the storms to my soul, but Jesus always been my stay. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, sailing to that homeland of the soul. Friends and loved ones waiting just to welcome me under. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. Trip has been a good one, but I know I must be nearing the shore. I can almost see the lights from the mansion so bright, and Jesus is standing at the door. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, sailing to that homeland of the soul. Friends and loved ones waiting just to welcome me yonder. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. Well, I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion.
That you live with every day.
Sailing to
it's evident every day. It's an everyday presence. It's something you've never been without, but maybe you've never really noticed it. And this morning we're going to take the word grace. We're going to take that word and dissect it. We're going to take it word for word. G, spell it with me. G-R-A-C-E. Do it again. G-R-A-C-E. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, beginning to read in verse 12. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts of the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet He did it without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. Father, Your word for Your people honor it. And all the people said it, Amen. This morning we want to talk about this word called grace. There was a revival came to town and many people went out. Back then they didn't care where you was, Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, or Pilgrim Holiness, or whatever you were. You went to revival. It wasn't the name over the door that mattered. They just went out to revival. When it came to community, the church would pack with many different denominations of people. A lot of seekers would come years ago, and it wasn't unusual to have a lot of sinner folk in the revivals. Today you don't find that. But anyhow, this man went. He had never accepted Christ as his Savior. But he went to revival along with everybody else. And while he was at the revival, the evangelist got up on Monday night and he said, "Tonight, folks, I want to speak on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want to preach on the grace of God." Well, that was all well and good, but Tuesday night, the revival begins and the evangelist got up and said, "Well, tonight, I want to speak from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Well, that was all right. But come Wednesday night, the evangelist stood up and said, "Tonight we're going to open the Scriptures to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And my theme tonight is going to be the grace of God. Well, this old boy went down to the barber shop on a Thursday. The evangelist I've ever heard. Said, "What's strange about him?" Well, he's preached the same sermon every night. "What is the sermon he's preaching?" He said, "He gets up and says, 'Let's turn to John 3:16, for God so loved the world,' and I want to take a theme of the grace of God." Well, he went that night, and sure enough, the evangelist got up, said, "Turn with me to John 3:16, for God so loved the world." And guess what? He preached again on the grace of God. Well, on a Friday night, the evangelist got up, took the text, the same old text. But that night, something charmed the heart of that boy. That night, God broke through that hard, stony heart. He got right down deep where that old boy was living. That old boy found his way to an altar of prayer and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Well, then come Saturday night, it's time to close the revival. The evangelist got up and said, "Well, folks, when I came to see somebody saved." And said, "God, give us souls for our labor." And said, "Just to be honest with you, just don't know what to preach on tonight." Well, that old boy whose heart had been mellowed by God and touched by the Holy Spirit the night before, hollered out, "Preach on the grace of God." So I'm here to preach on the grace of God. I think it's something that has touched our life. Something that has touched our heart. Something that is always evident. And yet we have failed to really recognize the grace of God. The Star Spangled Banner says it. "God shed His grace on thee." And God has shed His grace upon America. The Bible said we can now come boldly to the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. And we can find grace to help in this great time of need. And if there ever was a time that we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, it's this day and time. If there ever was a time that God's grace needs to be recognizable, if there ever was a time when we as American people and foreign people, would declare that God is, and we are one nation under God. And in the beginning it was God. And in the end it will be God. Because He said, I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. You cannot separate God from His grace. You know what makes grace what it is? We use the word G. It's great because it belongs to God. God has shed His grace upon America all down through the times, back in the beginning of time, and that's what Bob is teaching on. And you miss a Wednesday night, you're going to miss something good. But in the beginning, right in the beginning of time, the Bible said that God looked upon the earth. He had made man, created man, in His own likeness and in His own image. Give him a nice home, give him a nice family, give him everything he needed so that he could live comfortable in this life. But he sinned against God. And the Bible said that the thoughts and the imaginations of men and women were nothing but evil all of the time. But God still showed His grace. What does the Bible say? To the Antediluvian time, when wickedness was throughout the nation, the Bible said there was one man. And what did he do? He found grace in the eyes of God. Why didn't Noah preach for 120 years? Why didn't God just destroy man? Why didn't God just come down and wipe off the face of the earth? No, it was because God shared His grace. God doesn't just go around destroying people because He can. Now, I know you and I probably would do a lot different if we were God. But God ain't like you and I. We become like God, but God ain't like us. He's different from you and I. He wanted Noah to tell about God's grace. Noah preached it for 120 years. He told them about a loving God, a God that cared, a God that would save them. As a matter of fact, he said, that's why I'm building this boat. I'm going to build a boat big enough for everyone who wants to go with me can get aboard, and we can be in the safety of God and His protection. But folks, it's just like today. They didn't accept it. They turned their back upon the grace of God. They didn't allow the grace of God to come. You know what the grace of God is? The grace of God is a pardon. You've been in prison all your life. And there you are. You're sitting on death row. You know, that's the thing that changed my life when I was a young man. I had a prisoner. I had an ex-convict come to my house. And he knocked on the door. And I went to the door. And I said, yes, sir, can I help you? He had a little track, and he said, I've come to witness to you about Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, I don't have time for that kind of hogwash, son. I ain't got time for religion. I said, if you come back later when Mommy and Daddy's here and you can talk to them about it. Anyhow, he said, if you'll just give me 1 minute, just give me 1 minute. I said, no, but I don't want to hear that stuff. He said, if you'll just give me 1 minute to ask you one question, I'll assure you I'll leave. And you know what he said? He said, son, you're on prison. You're in prison. You're on death row. He said, the judge has done set your time of death. You know the exact moment, you know the exact second that you're going to die. But again, you're sitting on death row and the sentence has not been handed down. You do not know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to leave this world, but it's surely a fact you'll either leave it at an appointed time or you'll leave it at a non-appointed time, but you're going to die. I looked at that man, and that has stayed with me ever since then. I said, well, sir, I'd rather be there and not know the second, the moment that I was to die. He looked at me and he said, that's exactly where you are, young man. And turned away and left my door. And listen, that has followed me all down through the years. That's exactly where we are. You're talking about a God that has the grace to pardon you.
Sometimes I see through eyes of sorrow, a problem that reaches the sky. And it seems comes every day. It gets bigger and bigger, a mountain, and it's so hard to climb. Well, it's then I remember the story of Jesus, how he stood such that painful ordeal. And my troubles, they crumble. I know I can make it, for my mountain is only a hill. Oh, I'm not standing in a courtroom, betrayed and denied. My body isn't bleeding, oh, beaten with stripes. No soldiers plan to hang me on an old rusty tree. So I find my mountain is only a hill. Jesus made all my cares seem smaller by the way that he faced the angry crowd. And it shows me how to look past all of my trials to the thorns they placed on his brow. There I see that blood falling down on my mountain, lifting my cares. Oh, the power in the crimson uncovers my mountain and shows me it is only a hill. Though I'm not standing in a courtroom, betrayed and denied, my body isn't bleeding and beaten with stripes. No soldiers plan to hang me on an old rusty tree. So I find my mountain is all.